Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Christmas day will be taken from the familiar story of out of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, and I will read the first 20 verses. Again, that's the Gospel of Luke. We'll be looking at chapter 2 of Luke and reading the first 20 verses, where we read then in the name of our Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And Father, this morning we pray that you would show us the wonder of it all. That even as we have gathered here on this day that we set aside in our calendar year to commemorate the birth of your Son, Father, that once again your splendor, your awe, your majesty, your holiness, may it be revealed to us. So we ask that, Father, you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. Earlier on in the month of December, I was driving. I don't know where I was driving exactly. But as I was driving along, I had the radio on, and this carol came on, "O Come All Ye Faithful." And it struck me as I was listening to that hymn and to the carol being sung at the wonder of Christmas. And I've thought about this throughout the month, you know, as we've been making our way through the Advent season, as we've been thinking, and perhaps like you're like me, you know, we're getting out, we're buying our presents, we're getting ready for Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, whenever it is that you open those packages and you're marveling at the things that you get, correct? You know, we're kind of often in wonder. Now, I don't want to pick on my wife this morning, but my wife is very good at expressing herself, if you know her at all. And very often when she opens a present, she expresses her wonder over the present very joyfully. And I couldn't help but think of that this morning as, again, we listened to my wife exclaim over her things. At the wonder that went through the shepherds as they made their way into Bethlehem, they had experienced the most marvelous revelation from God. God had showed up now with his angels. He had sent the angels onto the lowly shepherds on the hillside there in Judea. And they had announced this news that the Christ child has been born. And they went there, and when they got there, it tells us that they wondered. You see, that's the thing that I really would like to get across to you, because I know that even as I read this story this morning, all of you have heard it many, many times. I have heard it so many times, it's almost memorized. I hardly have to look at the page when I read it. But do we see the wonder of it all? Do we recognize what a glorious day this is in the history of humanity? How God now enters, as it were, into his created world and begins the work of salvation for us. But he doesn't come here in a glorious fanfare. He comes actually in a very quiet way, which the hymn Silent Night really expresses for us. The only ones who really had any revelation, direct revelation from God in a glorious way, were the angels, or the shepherds, excuse me. But we who are gathered here this morning experience this wonder because we know that in this Christ child now is our salvation. We were dwelling, and we are dwelling, as it were, in a dark world, in a world which is crying for the light. And when the light begins to shine forth in a man's heart, this is what is revealed to him. The Christ child who has come now for him, for her. This really is the wonder of it all. And I was struck as we went through this month. Like I said, it was around the beginning of December when I heard this carol sung for the first time. Heard it many times after that. In fact, I even have a recording of it somewhere, and I listened to it several times. But some of the other carols as well. And you know, if you came here during the Advent season, I actually did a little bit of preaching in that manner where I had the text and the carol, and I kind of use them both to bring forth the message. Because the hymn writers, as they write down these hymns, begin to explain something for us that very often we miss. And that is the wonder. You see, we should be squealing with joy. Now, maybe that's more feminine. So us men, I don't know what we do. We hoot, we holler. But we should be excited. Because this is the most glorious day in the whole span of the history of the world, apart from the Christ event, which of course would be his death and his resurrection. God looked down on this world and seen a world full of hurting, sinful people who were, as it were, heading straight into the darkness with no hope of the light to ever shine forth into their lives. And so he took care of that issue. He sent his Son, who is in fact the light of the world. And we see him. We have the privilege, actually, this morning to visit the stable. We have the privilege to enter into Bethlehem. Now, we are not going to get into a jet and fly over there. We simply have the privilege this morning to experience it by faith. John Francis Wade is the one who wrote, "O Come All You Faithful." And actually, we only sing, what is it, 3 verses of it. There's actually 7 verses that he wrote. And I'm going to do what I did on the Advent service, or during the Advent services. I'm going to look at this hymn and correlate it, as it were, to the text that I read for you. The first verse is, as you're all familiar, "O come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels." Now, when you think of those words, I don't know what goes through your mind. But I want to express something for you this morning. When you begin to think of this term of faithful, what does it mean to be faithful? And I think most of us understand what that means. Faithful means that I am loyal, perhaps. I'm not going to sway away from whatever it is that I'm faithful to. What the songwriter here is saying is, you who are the faithful in Christ, let's take a little journey, so to speak. Let's take a trip and go now to Bethlehem, and there let's observe our salvation. Let's look at this child who lays in the manger and wonder that this little child who's laying there is actually God himself come in the flesh. And in this child now lies the entire hope of the world. This child now is the consolation, as Simeon would say later in this same chapter, of Israel. He is the one who now brings comfort to the masses. Masses just simply means to the people. You who are the faithful in Christ, who God has now set apart as holy because of the work of his Son, I'm asking you, I'm telling you, come now and behold this one who brings wonder into the world. The second verse of this hymn. I tell you to follow along in your hymnal, but it's not going to line up. True God of true God, light from light eternal, he shuns not the virgin's womb, Son of the Father, begotten, not created. Now it's interesting because he pens down actually what's written in the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed spells this out very clearly. He is true God of true God. He has not been created. He is God himself, now born in the virgin's womb, conceived in the virgin's womb and born of her. The third verse you're familiar with. Sing choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all you citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Now listen to these words again. Sing all you citizens of heaven above. Now your mind perhaps may go to the angels. You're thinking, well, yeah, he's talking about the angels. The angels abide, they live, as it were, in the heavenly realms, and he's telling the angels to sing. But actually, he's looking even beyond that. He's looking to the people who would believe and trust in this little baby as their Savior, and telling them to sing. So that's what I exhort you onto this morning, encourage you to sing, you who are the citizens of heaven. Paul, when he writes in the book of Philippians, makes this statement very clearly. You know, we now are the citizens of heaven. Wonder. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. We are the citizens of heaven because of this day. We are the citizens of heaven because of this Christ child and because of this event. You see, that's the wonder of it all. God didn't wait for you and for me to change and get ourselves off of that dark road that was heading to eternal destruction. No, He came and He intervened on our behalf by sending His Son, who comes now to secure our salvation. See verse 4. See how the shepherds summoned to his cradle, leaving their flocks, draw nigh to gaze. We too will hither bend our joyful footsteps. You see, this is what I'm talking about this morning, is the wonder. As you and I entered into this church door this morning, were we in awe? Perhaps we should have had a nativity scene set up here just to kind of give us the mental image of what I'm talking about. We walk into this church this morning to hear of this child who comes on this particular day to secure for us our salvation, our victory, our citizenship, and our home. Yeah, we bend the knee. Now, we don't see him, as I've mentioned already, like the shepherds did, but we see him by faith. And we bend the knee. Because we're just smitten with this. There is no greater gift. I got a lot of nice gifts. I really did. And I like those gifts. You know, they're going to really come in handy in this life. But this gift, I can't even describe it to you, except to say simply, it's wonderful. The wonder of this gift transcends any other thing that we would ever receive in this life. This gift, do you realize that this Christ event, this birth of our Savior, has inspired, as it were, the world? The world gathers on this day. Now, some of them gather perhaps for the wrong reasons, but nonetheless, they gather on this day to commemorate this event, and they give gifts. They do all of these things, all because a little baby was born in a stable in some obscure place in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was just a small little town. There he was born, and it changed everything about the world. I listened to one pastor recently. Actually, I was talking to him on the phone, and he counseled me in this way, or as a group of us. He said, don't get up and talk to people about commercialization and all of that. Don't go off on that. These people are doing all of these things because of the Christ child. Whether they realize it or not, we can get up and rant and rave about commercialism or whatever else we want to about the Christmas event. But man, we're taking the wonder from it when we do that. Let's just sing. Let's sing of this silent night, this holy night. Let's come who are the faithful and adore him. The fifth verse. Lo, star-led chieftains magi, Christ adoring, offer him incense, gold, and myrrh. We too, the Christ child, bring our hearts' oblations. Oblations is just a big, I was going to say it's an older term, but I don't know if it's old, but it's a term that simply means offerings. What can I bring to this child? You know, there's that little song that we probably most of you are familiar with, the little drummer boy. That's all he wanted to do was play his drums for the child. And sure, that's made up. But what can we bring to this child? And the only thing is our hearts. We come to him with our dirty hearts, and we recognize that he cleans them right up. And so that's all I have to give to him is wonder, is joy. To come to him and be thankful for the marvelous gift that he has given to me. Verse 6. Child for us sinners, poor and in the manger, we would embrace thee with love and awe. Who would not love thee, loving us so dearly? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. You're very familiar with that hymn, I'm sure. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. This is our song. And I'm just kind of rambling a little bit this morning, I know, but there's so much that's went through my mind over this past month and a lot of scripture reading that I've done. And just, I mean, you could preach from all over on this morning. But this wonder of this child, if I could just get people to see. And I know I can't do it. But God can. And then this verse. This is in our hymn. Our hymnals, I should say. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Now that's wonder. You want to hear that again? I do. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Can you imagine? You see, I imagine the shepherds, you know, they're sitting on a hillside. I kind of identify with shepherds. Maybe most of us do. We're out there, you know, doing our manual labor, whatever it is. Here they're taking care of their sheep. All of a sudden, you have this glorious heavenly image of angels who show up on the scene, and they tell you, hey, in Bethlehem, the Christ child was born. And you'll find him there. And so immediately they say, oh, let's go look. Let's go find him. And away they went into the city or into the town, and they found him. I don't know how they found him, but they did. And when they got there, they were amazed. And you know what they did? They started telling everybody else. Because what else can you do when you begin to experience the wonder of God's grace? What else can you do when you begin to experience the wonder of the Christ child and the wonder of God's love? The only thing that's left for you to do is to open your mouth and speak and to express the wonder of this to the masses, to the people. That here now, in this child, lies everything that we have been waiting for and hoping for. He is the fulfillment of everything. And he is our salvation, and he is our Lord, and he is our God, and he is our King. So what's left for us to do? It's right in front of you if you have the hymnal open. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. That's all you need to do this morning. You just come into this church this morning and you adore him. And you praise him. Because the darkness has lifted and the light has now shined. And you and I who are gathered here this morning, though we may feel our sinfulness, though we may recognize that we are sinners, we see now in this child our consolation, our comfort, our forgiveness, our salvation. Come and adore him. Come and praise him this morning. You don't have to do it with your lips. I know we don't like to do that. We're too good of Finlanders. And I'm right with you. I don't want to stand out either. But listen, we can adore him. How? In our hearts. And if our lips express it this morning, well, then praise be to God, because he has done a marvelous thing on this day when he has sent his son into this world to be born as a little babe, to grow up into a man and to take the burden of the world upon himself, all of its sin, all of its junk. He went to the center cross of Calvary and there he died. And on Easter morning, he rose again. And it all started right here on this day when God in his kindness offered his goodwill toward men. So let's adore him. And let's do it not only today, but let's do it every day of our lives. Because, after all, for the Christian, every day is Christmas. Now, that doesn't mean you get a bunch of gifts every day. No, it just simply means that the gift of Christmas never stops giving. It's not a one-time event. It's the everydayness of the citizen of heaven, of which you are. So let's adore him. And let's go home and enjoy our families or whatever we do, but always in the back of our mind, or perhaps better said, in the front of our minds, is this Christ child who has saved us and made us his own and given us actually the ability now to offer him our adoration, our praise. May God be praised this morning for his marvelous gift. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, there's not really a lot to be said except thank you. Thank you, Father, that you, in spite of us, sent your Son. And thank you for this day when we can gather together and remember. And Father, for each one of us who are gathered here, we ask that you would open the wonder of it to us. So that even as we leave here and begin whatever it is that we are to do today, that you would continue to show us the wonder. Father, may this be revealed to those who are in hospitals. We think of Clifford and Irene. May the wonder of the Christ child enter into their hearts and their minds and into that room this morning. And for others who are suffering with bad things this morning, those who went through the tragedies there in the south of this country, we ask, Father, that there too they would experience your wonder, your peace. That all together, Father, we as a nation would lift our voices up in praise of you, and would our hearts and our minds then would be drawn again to this stable where it all began. Father, thank you for this gift, and bless us as we go. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The announcements for the congregation members.